Hi, everyone. This is Dr. Cheryl Calvin, and welcome to What Women Must Know. Thank you for joining me today, because we have another wonderful show that is designed, its purpose is to empower you with truthful information so you can truly make the most informed decisions possible regarding your health and well-being. So I'm looking forward to the show, and I'm sure you are as well. I want to remind everyone to be sure to go to my website if you have not yet opted into whatwomenmustknow.com. I invite you to do so because there are several special reports that you will be sent automatically for free. I have many of my articles. I am posting more information all the time. It's a great resource place, so take advantage of that. And also, if you have not yet liked me over at Facebook, which is also What Women Must Know, please go there because I post on a daily basis articles, recipes, information, inspiration, a variety of topics that I think are really relevant for you and really empowering not just women but also men to really learn what is truly going on in regards to your health and other related issues as well. So that's What Women Must Know, the website and also the Facebook page. Well, we're going to be talking about a topic that I actually spoke a lot about when I was traveling around Australia and New Zealand. It really is one of my favorite subjects because it is a very personal issue for me. So today the topic at hand is understanding the adrenal thyroid connection. This is a really profound topic, and it really is at the crux of the health issues for so many women, and men too, but certainly women seem to be even more affected as their hormones are more volatile, impacting adrenals and their thyroid. So we're going to sift through it all, help you to understand what is really going on with this adrenal thyroid connection and support you in getting your health back on track. My guest today is Dr. Holly Lucille, and she is a naturopathic doctor and a registered nurse who is the author of Creating and Maintaining Balance, A Woman's Guide to Safe, Natural Hormone Health. She serves on the American Association of Naturopathic Physicians Board of Directors and was listed in Time Magazine's A-List as one of the top 100 influential people, 100 top 100 most influential people. So what can you say? This is going to be a wonderful conversation, and I hope Dr. Holly is on the line. Are you there?
I'm here. Hi.
Oh, good. You were very quiet. I wasn't sure if you were listening in. So, well, Dr. Holly, thank you for being with us today. It's a pleasure to have you on the show, and I'm looking forward to this conversation.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. And the reason why this is a topic that is near and dear to my heart is because when I was in my early 40s, I started to have what I call a perfect storm of health challenges. Everything from severe allergies, arthritis, insomnia, hay fever, I think depression can be thrown in, and I started to have anxiety attacks. I was getting night sweats. It was a really, really challenging time. And as I tried to sort through this litany of experiences and symptoms, which, by the way, just totally changed my life and direction in life and career and everything else, but I realized that the adrenals were so primary to what I was experiencing. I hadn't known about the adrenals at all, so it was a discovery. And I think the adrenal issue is getting more and more attention, and we're learning more about it. Unfortunately, I do think traditional medicine still hasn't caught on, but in the field of functional medicine, alternative approaches, we're certainly appreciating how profound the adrenals are and also how they relate to the other key issue affecting so many women, which is the thyroid.
Right.
So maybe we should begin by just defining our terms. I think we should talk about the adrenals, don't you, to start off with, and what they are and what they do?
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's start there.
Well, I think that, it's so interesting to me, you know, as I lecture around the United States and stuff, you and I have gone to medical school, and we're supposed to know words like cortisol and different other hormones and glands like adrenals, and it's just amazing to me how much of the sort of normal or regular population, I should say, understands these terms in our modern day, because it's such a, I would say, 21st century sort of dysregulation that we're having in our adrenals. And I think for the most simplest term, they really are stress glands. And they are called upon a lot, I should say, in our modern day to really be the first line defense against all of the, chronic and compounded stressors that people have. But they do a tremendous amount. And, you know, I always think of Deepak Chopra, the world-renowned endocrinologist, saying it best around our endocrine or hormone system. You touch one strand and the whole web trembles. So certainly when we're talking about the adrenals having such a hefty load to really shunt in our modern day, it is affecting the overall hormone or endocrine system as well.
So, Holly, where are the adrenals?
So they're two little, actually, kidney-shaped glands that sit on the top poles of your kidneys. They look like little kidney beans.
And so what are their purpose? What can we just explain a little bit more about what they do and the different functions that they influence or control or monitor?
Sure. Well, the biggest thing, I think, you know, when it comes to the adrenal thyroid axis, once again, we're talking about two big hormones, cortisol, DHEA, both of those, cortisol and DHEA. And they release these hormones in response. It's basically our fight or flight, in response to stressors. So our brain sort of understands or perceives a stressor, and then our body mounts this response. The adrenal glands are responsible for initiating this response. So, like I said, there's many different functions. They're really involved in over 50 different hormonal responses in our body, but the stress aspect, that fight or flight, is the biggest one when we're talking about that adrenal thyroid axis and certainly our modern-day stressors.
And the adrenals also play a role with monitoring blood sugar levels, which most people don't understand
monitoring
at all.
Blood sugar levels, absolutely. A big, big role in your immune system when there's an adrenal dysregulation. Your adrenal glands, if that's one of the biggest things, you know, if you, and I think this is the point that is so profound to me, your body is always meant to take care of you. And, of course, our brains need blood sugar or glucose to think, to work, all right? And we can go many, many hours, and many people do, without eating, but you're right. It's a stress response to our body. Adrenal glands have to get an alarm there, they need to sort of initiate and tell your brain, tell your liver to kick out glycogen, right, so store glucose, so your brain can actually continue to function. So monitoring blood sugar is huge.
So what are some of the symptoms of people who are experiencing adrenal fatigue?
So if somebody is experiencing adrenal fatigue, or people will say, you know, my adrenals are burnt, or I like to call it adrenal dysregulation, one of the most profound symptoms is fatigue, so protracted fatigue, kind of that fatigue where you feel like you get enough rest, but you still wake up unrested, or you feel like you get enough sleep, I should say, and you still wake up unrested. Or you have good energy throughout the day, and then about 3, 4 o'clock in the afternoon, your energy starts to tank. Kind of that fatigue where you feel like you get bit by a tsetse fly. You also can have many different symptoms. Digestive disturbances, impaired blood sugar control, like you said. Immunocompromisation, meaning you're subject to getting colds or flus or different things that are swarming around in the environment very, very easily. A lot of times there'll be dry eye syndrome, aches, pains, joint inflammation, swelling. There's a tremendous amount of clinical presentations that I've seen where we can link back to sort of chronic adrenal fatigue.
Some of the symptoms that I personally experience that I see a lot in my practice is the tendency to be very anxious, to easily get overwhelmed, which, you know, is just so common, especially when women are under stress. They just get frazzled and very anxious, which can spill over into sleep. So they can really have impaired sleep. I see that as a big problem. Whenever I question my audiences when I'm out there lecturing, I always ask if people find that they may wake up really tired and then get that second wind late at night. And I just find all these hands going up. So suddenly people find all this energy, which is part of this dysregulation of the adrenal glands.
Right. Well, you know, you've got great lead-ins because, once again, you know, it's like so many things. The adrenals also set your circadian rhythm, your sleep-wake cycle. Cortisol does that. It is that hormone that sort of is low during the evening hours, allows you to go to sleep, and then it spikes during the morning, and it allows you to get up, and then it's kind of got this diurnal wave pattern all throughout this, and it's really a distinct cycle, that sleep-wake cycle, and people who suffer from the adrenals having worked too hard, so a high catecholamine or high cortisol lifestyle, usually leading to a deficiency state, I see exactly what you're saying. I call them inappropriate nocturnal cortisol spikes because cortisol is supposed to be where at night? It's supposed to be lowered, right? And then, as you said, if they're inappropriately spiking, they get that sort of second wave, and the sleep-wake cycle is disrupted. And, boy, that's just no fun for anybody.
No, because if you can't sleep, then
you can't heal.
You can't heal, exactly. I mean, you can't heal, you can't lose weight. I think we need to mention also the connection between cortisol, which is that, you know, as you mentioned, that hormone that is stimulated under long-term stress, and the relationship to belly fat.
That's right. Well, once again, so just think about it. Let's say your body is, your brain is perceiving that there's a bear chasing you, right? And it's a stress response. And so pretty much that stress response at the end of the response, at the end of the day, is meant to get glucose really to your extremities so you can run like the Dickens, fight or flight. Get yourself safe or run, right? Or fight. So it's to get energy. And in our modern times, shoot, we could just be, you know, sitting behind the desk, getting an infuriating email from a coworker or your boss, losing a parking space, balancing our checkbook, having unresolved emotional issues, relationship issues, financial issues. Our body doesn't know the difference, still feels like perhaps it's running from a bear. And then, so you go to get out of danger, and guess what? There's really no imminent danger. There's no bear. And so where does all of that energy that we just released in these hormonal cascades that happen during this response, where does it go? Well, it doesn't go anywhere except right where you said, right, stored as fat around our belly. And that is, of course, a setup for continued and subsequent health issues down the road.
Yes, you know, I experienced that personally because when I was going through a lot of stress, my body totally changed, and I created all this belly fat, and it was really stubborn. It was a challenge to finally resculpt my body again, get my waist back, which I was able to do, but I really saw that's where it piles on and how difficult it is to restore the proper, you know, physiology after things have been so pushed out of balance again due to stress primarily.
Exactly. Yeah, that gets your, it definitely gets your attention. Women present all the time and they are back at the gym. They are minding what their nourishment is. And they have got that stubborn waking that is stubborn in the fact that they just can't lose it. And we need to go and understand the history. And usually with the history, there's periods of these chronic unrelenting stressors. And that's where we need to start the treatment then. Identify and treat the cause.
And, you know, the other piece of this is that when we start putting on that weight around the middle and we get frustrated with our weight. We do go to the gym, and then we work really hard, and we do long workouts, and we do all these really intensive programs, which, unbeknownst to many of the people, it could be exacerbating the problem because they're adding more stress to a system that just can't cope very well with it at all.
Exactly. You know, a lot of times when I identify this in somebody, what I tend to end up saying to them is, I don't want you to get your heart rate over 90. Like, literally. I mean, and it's counterintuitive, right? Somebody comes to see a naturopathic doctor, and you're thinking exercise is such a great big part of healing. But a lot of times we need to take one step back in order to get many, many steps forward. And I think with adrenal dysregulation, adrenal fatigue, this is definitely an example of that.
So the problem is when, this is really common, and I know you see this a lot, I see this a lot. The problem is when people have these cluster of symptoms and go to their doctor. Well, how would you advise people in that regard? Because their doctors, I mean, I've had people say to me, I went to my doctor, and I said to my doctor that I think I have adrenal exhaustion, and they turned around and said, what's that?
Right.
So,
you know, it's so interesting that you say that. And, you know, I always use it as an opportunity for my patients, because if they go to their quote-unquote, let's just say regular doctor, and I'll define that by conventional Western reductionistic, you know, medicine, and you know as well as I, there's value in all systems of medicine. But honestly, in that, excuse me, style of medicine, they're really taught to treat in a very reductionistic way. So reducing somebody, let's say, to a lab test or to a symptom and not look at things more comprehensively, okay? And so I think about it in that way. And these doctors, it's almost like, you know, if you'd go to your ophthalmologist, right? And you'd go in and say, hey, I'm having a little trouble with my vision. It's almost like going to your ophthalmologist and your ophthalmologist going, well, you know, you're not blind yet, so we're not going to treat you. I think a lot of times in conventional Western medicine, if you don't have Addison's or Cushing's disease, so the extremes of a disease or a diagnosis that you can get involved with the adrenals, then that system of medicine doesn't recognize that there might be a dysregulation along this endocrine or hormone system. So we think about the hypothalamus, the pituitary, the adrenal, thyroid, gonadal axis, you know, all of these. And so that's where I just try to use it as a teaching point to my patients. It's like, look, you know, let's say you got hit by a car and you damaged one of your adrenal glands. I definitely want you to go into that system of medicine. Please go. You know, don't stop. Don't pass go. Don't collect $200. Just go. With this style of, I would say, lifestyle optional issue of adrenal dysregulation, get to see somebody like you and myself. Go to a naturopathic doctor. Let somebody allow your story to be told and the subtleties of that story come out in the clinical work so you can really start healing.
Absolutely, and I think that's the frustration for so many people. They're, you know, they are trying to get a certain need met in a system that doesn't understand it at all and doesn't have a way to really treat the underlying imbalance. So that's why we're having these conversations.
That's right, and that's why you do your radio show, which I think is great, because more people can understand, and you can find, you know, people like you and I. and it's just a different system of medicine, and I think it's more appropriate in a case like this.
So let's talk about the connection between the adrenals and the thyroid. What is that connection?
Well, you know, as I said before, I think this hypothalamus pituitary, so those are two big sections of our endocrine system, our hormone system, that start to function, you know, in our brain. Hypothalamus, pituitary, adrenal, thyroid, gonadal, so our sex hormone, our sex glands, the ovaries, the testes. But the adrenal-thyroid connection, I think, to me, is just really particular in the fact that in order to have an appropriately functioning thyroid gland, and at the end of the day, with an appropriate functioning thyroid gland, it really sets the aerobic and anaerobic metabolism of each and every cell of your body, okay? And so you have to have appropriately functioning adrenal glands, okay? So too high cortisol or too low of cortisol, you're not going to have peripheral conversion from your inactive thyroid hormone to active thyroid hormone, which really does, you know, the job at the end of the day. And so it's really important to look at both of these, particularly when somebody is complaining of all of the things that we had talked about, and any signs of hypometabolism. So that can range from your hair thinning, constipation, digestive issues, skin issues, I mean, weight gain, you name it.
And I think we have to add their depression as well, because that often is misrecognized and misdiagnosed when people come in complaining of depression. And that's why we want to sit down and have a big conversation with our patients, because we have to put all those pieces of the puzzle together. People just come in complaining of depression, but the bigger pattern isn't revealed. They might walk out with antidepressants, but the real cause is never addressed.
Right. And you're setting somebody up for a lifelong medication, and we're really not identifying and treating the cause.
So there is this intimate relationship with the adrenals and the thyroid. And from what I was taught, it's often, maybe not an absolute truth, but often it's the adrenals that get exhausted, the unrelenting stress, be it physical stress, emotional stress, mental stress, environmental stressors, they can all have an impact on the adrenals. And then other systems begin to get affected. And that thyroid gland is one of those systems that can profoundly be impacted when the adrenals start to get out of balance.
Absolutely. And a lot of times, once again, the last thing we want to do is set somebody up for thyroid replacement therapy without really being able to understand where the thyroid is under functioning along. You know, I look at the thyroid as sort of like a relay race. There's so much going on. There's so many different moving pieces, and we really have to work hard. And a lot of times, teasing out the chronic stressors, that's a big, big part of it.
So you know, can you explain a little bit more? You know, I've really been looking into this whole thyroid issue, because it's such a common issue that a high percentage of women are dealing with hypothyroid conditions. And it's not to say men don't have them too, but it just seems to be that women are more vulnerable to it. But then there are distinctions of thyroid. There are thyroid issues that can come because of nutritional deficiencies like iodine or magnesium or zinc or tyrosine. And then there are thyroid issues that can be more the result of autoimmune conditions like Hashimoto's, which is what I had. How does that play out with the adrenals, Holly? When the adrenals are dysfunctional, you know, is there a predominant type of thyroid issue, or can it go either way? What are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so it's interesting, and as you know, it's like every case is different, but honestly, so you think about the thyroid. I'm just going to do this quickly because I think it'll orient us into the answer to your question.
Okay, good.
The thyroid function, let's do four legs of a relay race, okay? Like one time around the track, four different batoned passes off, let's say. So the first one would be communication from the brain itself. There's a negative feedback loop, as you well know, from the body. I'm talking to the brain like, hey, we need some more thyroid. Okay, we got enough. So this is one thing. Then there's down to the thyroid gland itself, there is your building blocks for thyroid hormones. So the T stands for tyrosine. That's a building block. It's an amino acid. And then the 1, 2, 3, or 4, we don't really talk about 1 and 2, stand for the molecules of iodine that are attached, just like you said. So we need the building blocks themselves to actually create and make our mostly inactive thyroid hormones. So that would be T4. And then, as you also mentioned, the thyroid is extremely nutrient-dependent. There are many different minerals, vitamins, cofactors, et cetera, that are needed to actually take the T4, which is fairly inactive. It's a pro-hormone. There's never really been a receptor site that's been identified for this particular T4 to take a molecule of iodine off and make it active. So that's the juice. That's the gas for the cells, right? So that goes into T3, and there needs to be appropriate amount of cortisol. That's peripheral conversion that happens in the liver, you know, and some in the nerves, muscles, heart tissue, but mostly in the liver. And actually 20% happens, that peripheral conversion, in the gut, in the presence of actually good gut microbiome, et cetera. Mm-hmm. So there's that. And then there's the active hormone of the thyroid getting into each and every cell of the body, passing through, attaching to the receptor site on the nucleus. So there's a lot going on there, right? Well, the place where adrenals, I think, and thyroid really start to kind of be bosom buddies together in the disease process is when there's increased cortisol, which disrupts peripheral conversion, and or, like I said, lots of cortisol flying out, you know, for real deep chronic stressors, and then it results in a deficiency state, too little cortisol. You need your cortisol to be right on par for that thyroid, because it actually is, just like you said about blood sugar regulation, it's this normal, it's a normal response. The thyroid is going to, if you are completely stressed out and your thyroid is your metabolism, the body knows, boy, oh boy, if we just allow this organism to continue like this without pulling back and trying to get the organism's attention, like the body's attention, then it's going to be crash and burn. And so it's a compensatory mechanism, a result of the communication of the body trying to get that person's attention. Fatigue is setting in. We want people, when they feel tired, to take note, because that's not a normal finding, right? So that's where the thyroid and the adrenals really start to communicate. And we have to do our job to empower our patients to actually look at the body's symptoms as little friends and as little sort of sticky notes going, hey, 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 you need to pay attention to this.
And we only have a few minutes, and then we have to take our break. But the question I want to pose to you, and I'm sure it's in the mind of many of my listeners, is how do we find out what's going on? What do you recommend as far as the ways to test, to see how our thyroid is doing? And what are we looking for in the tests that we need to get? And what do we do about the adrenal glands?
All right, so this is a great question. So as far as testing is concerned, so first of all, you know, I always remind practitioners, myself and everybody else, that we always run tests to confirm clinical suspicions. So I think that good clinical acumen needs to be done first. So the story, right? Does it make sense? Does it match the clinical presentation? You know, the fatigue, the hair thinning, et cetera. That, you know, does that story? Secondly, from a testing perspective in conventional medicine, it's pretty limited, and thyroid function tests have been outdated for almost 3-4 decades now. They don't tell you much unless you marry them with the clinical presentation along with the clinical symptoms and the story. A lot of the gold standard, as you know, is TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. You can't really understand from a functional perspective what's going on with the thyroid. What I like to do is I like to run a ferritin, a vitamin D, because that has to do with the ability for the receptor sites to actually pick up active thyroid hormone. I also like to run a free T3, a free T4, a total T4, sometimes a reverse T3 if I need to, definitely a TSH just so we can marry it in with the rest of the picture. And then with the adrenals,
Let's slow down a minute so people can understand. So ferritin test. We're looking at iron stores. Can you just explain why that is important?
Sure. So ferritin has to do with the utilization of active thyroid hormone at the receptor sites. And I see people with chronically low ferritin. So as you said, it has to do with iron storage. And ferritin. And if you look at a ferritin range, I think what's really important there is that a lot of times the range is like 10 to 290. And people will weigh in with their ferritin at 12. And most doctors will go, oh, it's within normal limits. Well, I never say that. I like to see ferritin about 90 to 110. Mm-hmm. That, I think, is where optimal thyroid function happens. And that's a much better level. So That's where ferritin comes in.
So just to reiterate, so the ferritin, which is measuring the amount of iron that is being stored in the body is a major player in activating thyroid at the receptor site. So if you're not getting, if those receptor sites aren't active and if not responding, the thyroid hormone can't connect to the cell and give the message to generate metabolism and energy. Is that right? Do I have that right?
That's right.
Okay. So that's rarely given in a normal blood workup.
That's correct, and that's why we got to do our due diligence, and you got this radio show, and it's so great because we get to tell people all about it, and they can advocate with their doctor that they want to see this, or they can go see somebody like you and I.
Right. So let's take a moment here. Let's have our break, and we come back. We'll decipher more of some of these important things we need to look at when we ask our doctors or wherever we're going to get our blood work up or our adrenals tested with saliva, whatever we're doing, and then we can look at some of the solutions that I know you're going to be talking about. So we'll just have everybody waiting with bated breath until we get back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and today we are having this important conversation about the adrenals and the thyroid with Dr. Holly Lucille. And don't go away. We'll be right back. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. This is Dr. Cheryl Selman. You're listening to What Women Must Know, and today we're talking all about the adrenal-thyroid connection with Dr. Holly Lucille, who is a naturopathic doctor, an RN, and is the author of Creating and Maintaining Balance, Woman's Guide to Safe, Natural Hormone Health. And her website, by the way, is www.drhollylucille.com. So, Dr. Holly, we were talking about what we need to know when we're looking at the right ways to assess what's going on with our thyroid. We talked about the need to test for ferritin, and the ideal range is between 90 and 110. And then also we need to look at what else? What else?
So I also, maybe another one that most folks won't think about, but vitamin D. Vitamin D in the same way that ferritin, vitamin D, one of the number one issues of an underfunctioning thyroid is vitamin D levels being suboptimal. Okay, what do we mean by optimal? Once again, you can have somebody come in with their blood test being, let's say, one click above rickets, I'll call it, right? So just one little number above what's considered to be a normal range. I like to see vitamin D's in around the 60s. And so that is definitely something that I run all the time.
And what about reverse T3? Let's explain what it is, and then I'd like your thoughts on whether that should be part of a panel.
Sure. So we have regular T3, all right? So that's the T, as we said before, stands for tyrosine, and then the 3 is 3 iodine molecules. That's your active, that is an active thyroid hormone that we want to get into the receptor site and actually deliver the message of go, okay, for every single cell in our body, both aerobic and anaerobic metabolism. Now, reverse T3 is something that actually in the stress response or during other certain situations in our lives, pregnancy sometimes, starvation, is reverse T3 is actually generated, and it doesn't carry any charge, really. So once again, the body is going to make, it makes T3 and reverse T3 equally, all right? And it's going to respond to what the body is doing. And so if there's a big bout of starvation, the last thing we want is for your metabolism to stay revved up because we're going to have to conserve that energy. And so it's the body's response to starvation, extreme stressors, and that's reverse T3. The problem with having too much reverse T3 is that it is going to, as T3 is active, this is inactive. And so it takes the place in the receptor site, but it doesn't deliver the message as go. And so if the body, is not getting, the cells are not getting the message as go, then you're going to start having those symptoms of hypo or an under-functioning metabolism.
So if T3 shows up in a report, then we really want to look at, what's really going on there, which has to do with the body trying to calm down and it's like put the foot on the accelerator from the stress and the impact on the adrenals. So that's part of the clinical assessment, right? When you see T3, you know stress is going on there.
Absolutely. When you see reverse T3, that's exactly what you know. And so once again, you take, and I think this is what more comprehensive forms of medicine do, is they'll take lab tests, of course, that are important, you know, pieces of information, and marry that with the story that someone brings in with them. You know, like I see it all the time. You hear of people with, you know, they had to move, and in the middle of their move, a parent died, and they're in a long-term poor marriage, and they've got three kids that they've been raising, you know, for the last 13 years without a break, and you pull that story together, and then, first of all, their clinical presentation makes sense, right? Just listening to them, you would be tired and having some of the symptoms they were having, and then the laboratory work starts to make sense, too, and that's the beauty of being able to pull it all together and really support both the adrenal and the thyroid.
Right. So one other thing is the antibodies for thyroid, which is more an indication of an autoimmune condition called Hashimoto's. Do you want to say a little bit about that as well?
Yeah, so that's a whole different anabolic. It's important. I think once, you know, like I had a patient today, actually, who she just had a baby. She had come to me, actually, for some digestive disturbances, and it was like at the 11th hour, even though I asked her about any past medical history, et cetera, she's like, oh, yeah, I just was diagnosed with Hashimoto's. And for me, it's a big issue because Hashimoto's disease, honestly, if you catch it early enough, we probably would diagnose it as Graves. And I'll tell you why, because in our thyroid gland itself, we have about 4 months of stored T4. And it's an autoimmune reaction, meaning your immune system looks at your thyroid gland and sees it as an invader. It sees it as something that shouldn't be there. And it starts to attack it. The immune system has completely gone confused. And so they start to attack the thyroid gland. Well, if you catch it early, you'll see a rush of T4 being released because of the injury to the gland itself, converted into T3, and then it's sort of high thyroid at the time. But then the attacks start to continue to happen, and it results in really you having to be on thyroid replacement for the rest of your life because the tissue just isn't able to make that hormone anymore. Now, one of the things that I think is really important, and most, as you know, we've talked about before in the show, the difference between conventional and more comprehensive medicine, like naturopathic medicine, the TSH, the gold standard, the thyroid stimulating hormone, is, you know, we want to see that in normal ranges, perhaps, for an indication of normal functioning thyroid. Well, if there is an autoimmune reaction, and you understand that there's thyroid antibodies, either TPO or thyroglobulin antibodies, that are elevated, we also want to get in deep and understand where the autoimmune reaction is happening, and usually because of the immune system being heavily concentrated in our gut, we need to understand gut function, gut stability, integrity from a microbiome perspective, also from a permeability perspective, from a digestive perspective. That needs to happen too.
You know, that's such an important point, and I really... I want people to understand that there's a more profound healing that has to happen when you get a diagnosis. My concern, I don't know how you feel about this, Holly, but my concern is when people go in and they get their TSH done, which is generally all that gets done when you have a traditional blood workup, then the doctor will go, oh, low thyroid, let's put you on thyroid hormones. So you try to support a thyroid function, which may or may not be effective. But the underlying causes are never addressed. I mean, if it's low iodine, what people need to understand is that iodine is not only needed by the thyroid gland, but it's needed to protect the breast from breast cancer. as an example, or it may be low zinc levels, which is critical for your immune system, or the cause may be a Hashimoto's, maybe an autoimmune problem. And that, as you were saying, is this chronic inflammation in the gut and leaky gut. And if that is ignored and never addressed, then that's going to become more chronic. So just putting people on thyroid hormones is ignoring some serious warning signs that can profoundly compromise our health down the track.
Absolutely. That's brilliant. Absolutely. Absolutely.
So that's why this conversation is so important. It's so important for everyone listening to understand how educated they need to be. So if they do go to their, you know, doctor, if they do run the blood workup, they need to be asking for these additional tests, even if it has to come out of their pocket. You know, they need to be paying for it because this is critical information. How can you ever heal at the root cause level, which is the only place you ever want to heal and can heal, if you don't have the right information?
That's right.
So what are your suggestions, some lifestyle suggestions, some nutritional suggestions? What do we do to support adrenal function and thyroid as well?
So, I mean, obviously, you and I know it's difficult in such a broad, to speak broadly or generalize about, you know, conditions because we treat so individually. But in general, I can tell you that I think that what I see throughout my clinical experience is that these stressors that you and I are talking about that eventually lead to adrenal malabsorption, et cetera, they're chronic. And so I like to put people on, I'll use plant medicines or botanical medicines, like adaptogens. Terry Nashley is a brand of vitamins. He has something called Adaptra, which I love, which is a blend of them. Okay, so we're thinking about things like rhodiola and holy basil. They've been lovely and clinically studied to maximize energy, relieve occasional stress, revitalize that adrenal function. It's an all-herbal formula. And I really mean that because what I've seen, Sheldon, you probably, like, people, it's a lot, you know, to get out of what actually is contributing to their chronic issue. But at least we can help them. I call them fuse lengtheners for the most part.
And Go ahead.
Well, that's certainly one of them from an adrenal perspective. I mean, you know, and I think, you know, from an adrenal perspective as well, from a lifestyle nourishment, I, as you noted early on in the show, your adrenals have everything to do with blood sugar regulation. We want to keep that blood sugar stable, so making sure that you eat frequently smaller meals, keeping that blood sugar up so the adrenal glands can actually rest and not have to be on guard trying to manage that crazy blood sugar because you eat a banana in the morning, then you don't eat for 6 hours, and you have, you know, a Diet Coke in the afternoon and maybe some pretzels if you aren't thinking about it and you're sitting at your desk doing stress eating. So eating good, nutritious, whole foods more frequently throughout the day is very important.
Anything else? I'm sure there's a lot. That's a whole show.
Yeah, well, as you said, I like to make sure that people stop exercising so intensely.
Yeah.
So more... until we get on top of this, more walking, yoga poses. I had a lady in here this morning who doing Qigong, which I think is lovely. More of that parasympathetic, which is the opposite of sympathetic, the opposite of fight or flight. More of that parasympathetic restoration activity we need to get into people's lives. And then also practicing good sleep hygiene, because as you said, if we can't sleep, we can't heal. And so... making sure that sleep hygiene is on board regarding, you know, no TV for at least an hour before you hit the bed, no TV or computer, those electric magnetic fields, making sure that the sleep environment is as dark as possible. A lot of people do really, really well with white noise. There's many different apps at this point in time with the, you know, it's kind of a counterintuitive because it's like I ask people to take their phones and not have them in their bedroom, but a lot of times these apps can be beneficial as far as sleep hygiene is concerned. And so making sure sleep is number one priority.
So that would also mean trying to get to bed between 10 and 11.
Yep, between 10 and 11, that's what they say, and wake up between 6 and 7.
Yeah, yeah. I always tell people that unless they take some downtime, you know, do some relaxation, walk out in nature, take a hot bath, do whatever is going to get you back into that parasympathetic state, as you were saying, then you can take all the supplements in the world, but it's not going to really do the job until you give yourself some time.
That's right. It's like pushing sand against the tide. You're exactly right. So those lifestyle things and being able to be in a calming place where you can actually, you know, really start to rest, relax, and repair is extremely important.
So, you know, we're talking about lifestyle changes to support long-term balance in the body and healing in the body, and then taking away the foods that are stressing the system out, because we need to really understand that when we talk about stress, it's not just the physical stress, it's the physiological stress that can come from too many carbs, too much sugar, too much soda, or starving yourself, or having too little protein in your diet, which I consider a problem for a lot of people. They just forget the protein, which is so necessary for rebuilding the tissue in our glands.
Yeah.
So anything else that you'd like to cover while we have some time left?
And I think for the thyroid, same thing. You know, it's like we want to make sure and remember that the thyroid is very nutrient dependent, and so getting whole foods, making sure that there's any digestive disturbances that you get corrected so we can actually have good absorption. Staying hydrated, I think, is important. And then also there's, you know, comprehensive thyroid supplements out there there's comprehensive adrenal and thyroid supplements out there that you can get, and they contain the thyroid building blocks, tyrosine and iodine. Making sure that you're not iodine deficient, that's a building block of thyroid itself. But I think that if you are all shored up on your building blocks and you've got good nutrition and you're still faltering from a thyroid perspective, ruling out thyroid antibodies, like you said, is another thing that you can do. Make sure your doctor does test for that. But also making sure that you are taking care of those adrenals.
Yeah, and I think that's such an important message, that the thyroid glands don't exist separate, and that there is this intimate relationship, which is what we've been talking about, between stress, the exhaustion or dysfunction, as you were saying, of the adrenal glands, and how that domino effect can occur. So then the thyroid gland starts being affected, and then you have more symptoms showing up that really starts compromising your ability to generate energy and have balanced moods and sleep, and leads to more chronic problems. So, you know, it really is important that everyone listening pay attention, listen to the symptoms, and then do the right kind of assessments, because without the whole picture, we really can't get to the root cause of what's going on. And I just really encourage everyone to certainly get a full panel done. And that's where, you know, people who see you can get it done, people who see me can get it done. But that's like it's building a big story. It's building and filling in all the pieces to the puzzle. And I just get so concerned when I see people just taking Synthroid, which is my favorite hormone. I don't even know how it can possibly work, to be honest, because it's a synthetic T4, and as you were saying, it's not, there aren't even receptor sites for T4. It needs to be the active hormone T3. Do you know how that can possibly work?
Well, I can't. I mean, unless you know, you have to depend solely on the body's ability to peripheral convert, and a lot of times that's the issue in and of itself. And so,
yeah. It's crazy. So this is why, you know, these conversations are just so important. We're kind of coming to the end, but I know you have another book in the works, don't you?
We're doing a book on iodine, absolutely. And then I have a big book that I'm not going to unveil yet, but yes.
Okay, I have one more question. We just have a couple of minutes. And that does relate to iodine. You reminded me. So there is concern that if someone is really dealing with a autoimmune thyroid condition, which supposedly is the great percentage of women who
or people who are presenting with thyroid, there's concern that if you have more of that autoimmune tendency and you take iodine, it can exacerbate it because of lack of selenium, without getting too technical. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, absolutely. So it can actually stimulate the reaction, the autoimmune reaction, giving iodine. What I have seen, I don't think I've seen it much in the literature, but what I have seen is if I get my patient's antioxidant status elevated, so and decrease oxidative stress, especially when it comes to the thyroid, I get that under control, and then if there is an iodine deficiency that's there concomitantly with an autoimmune aspect, then I'm able to successfully replete that iodine without any issues, and the TPO continues to stay decreased.
Right. So this is where I just encourage people to find naturopathic doctors or integrative medical doctors or, you know, nutritional chiropractors, you know, people who really understand the complexities, because as everyone is listening can see, it's really a very complex integrated system that we're looking at. So we need to address all the pieces of the puzzle. And if we want to really create health, we have to heal all those pieces of the puzzle and not just kind of mask it over with a drug that you have to take for the rest of your life. Which, you know, I had Hashimoto's, and I healed it, Holly. So that's why I'm really passionate about this subject, you know.
That's your next book. I had Hashimoto's and I healed it. Like, seriously.
Well, it just might be, because it's such a big problem, and I think I had it for years before it was ever diagnosed. I just spent so many years feeling depressed and sluggish and battling weight and gut issues, so it was quite a revelation, and I am passionate about the subject, but it all was related to chronic stress. So,
got it.
You know, this is not just me. It is just so common, as you see as well. It's everywhere out there in our culture, and we need to really do these kinds of shows and educate people so they can identify what's going on and then take the right steps, not just go on antidepressants, not go on, you know, thyroid meds or whatever else is being recommended. So this is such great work, and I really appreciate what you're doing, Holly. So one last opportunity, last word, anything else to kind of close
well,
the statement here?
Thank you for having me. And also, I think the last word would be, please, don't be a victim of your doctor, okay? Just know that you can be your own, what I like to call, primary care provider, primarily in charge of providing care for yourself. And there's different ideas and approaches to medicine that are, I think, more appropriate with our modern-day illnesses such as adrenal fatigue and thyroid, underfunctioning thyroid.
So that's those great words of wisdom. And for people who want to get more information about you and your work and your books, the best website is drhollylucille.com,
yep,
correct?
drhollylucille.com.
Wonderful. Well, Holly, thank you so much for spending the time. I know you have a busy practice, and I just really enjoyed our conversation today.
Hey, thanks so much for having me, and keep up the great work. We'll talk soon.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thank you, bye. And for all of you listening, thank you. Thank you, thank you. I want to really express my appreciation for everyone who is listening in and taking the opportunity to learn and heal. I want to remind everyone to go to whatwomenmustknow.com, and that I do phone consultations. So if people need some more guidance and help, then you can contact me through What Women Must Know and set up a personal one-on-one consultation, because there are ways to restore and regain your health at any age. So my last thought for today's show is to remind you to always honor the wisdom of your feminine self.